This morning, I want to invite us to sit with this passage in Acts, sort of a mini Lectio Divina this morning before I share a short reflection on this passage. I will read the passage twice. For the first reading, I want to ask you to let the words roll over you, just to listen. For the second reading, take note of what resonates with you. The scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Listen for the word of God. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gates of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temples with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. The people would lay him daily at the gates of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have to give to you in the name, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Does anybody want to share what might have struck them in this particular passage? It's okay if you don't, but I thought I'd offer. Thank you, Sherry. So Sherry, for those of you that couldn't hear, just noted the fixed your eyes on them, and just how that, like the Christ candle, was a focal point for this whole story. And then Lee shared, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." Thank you. So just for those of you on Zoom to hear, Kelly shared just the phrase, "What I have, I give to you," and operating out of more of a spirit of generosity rather than a spirit of scarcity. Bernadette shares that sometimes what we ask for, we receive so much more than what we could imagine, which is a beautiful way of seeing that. Thank you.
I'll just use this mic here so that you have to repeat it. Yeah. What struck me was when it said the people brought the man daily, like they daily, as friends, were presenting this man to the temple so that he could be helped in the way that they knew he could be helped. And just that persistence and patience and solidarity with this man that needed to be helped daily, and just thinking of us the daily things that we do that seem we get impatient with, or it's heavy and it doesn't seem like it's doing any good, right? But this daily practice, and then all of a sudden one day there was a spirit movement and with this man, but it took those friends to daily present him.
Thank you. I don't often participate in Lectio, but I am reminded in moments like this how beautiful it is to hear what everybody hears in the scripture. And so what I'm about to share with you is just really what struck me as in my reading and reflecting. The scripture passage this morning speaks to another biblical healing story with the familiar flow of someone needing to be healed, the healing happening, and then that person being restored back into community. This lame beggar spends his days positioned at the gate of the temple, a very strategic move to generate income. And as the disciples approach the temple for the hour of prayer, the beggar asks them for money. The disciples don't have any, but offer a healing instead, and upon the healing, the man is restored back into this worshiping community. The new twist in the story, of course, is that it's not Jesus doing the healing, but the disciples who invoke his name. A testament to this new way of faith post the Easter season, that the salvation and new life that Jesus had preached was not limited by his presence here on earth, but an everlasting one, freely given to all. This story is a powerful one in many different ways, but it reminds us that we are both disciples and beggars in this story. We can be like the disciples, bearers of healing and welcome, a reminder that we as Christ followers have a responsibility in this world not to be gatekeepers or barriers to church and community, but to be attentive. Here at KITS, we've named this particular posture in our invitation, come as you are. Yet we can also be the lame beggar, needing to be healed and welcome, which takes the humility and vulnerability that is uncomfortable at times for who really likes to ask for help. At the end of this particular passage, we see the disciples and the man both enter the gates of the temple. Equals. We see the message of Jesus, one of love and radical welcome, beginning to be lived out in this new church. And that call remains today as we, as a church community, strive to live in this city, this neighborhood, and to be good neighbors. However, when I was prepping for this morning and doing the same exercise of reading and reflecting, I too was drawn to verse 4 and 5. That moment when Peter looked at the lame beggar. One translation says, gazed intently into his eyes. I'm not sure if it's because of the overwhelming news of the two mass shootings, one in Buffalo, involving African-American elders shopping for food in the only grocery store in the community, or the kids that went to school and never came home. Or because of the nearly 500 texts I shared these last 2 days from one of my best friends in Edmonton on Friday and Saturday. But it seemed to be this moment in the passage, this moment of intimacy, where Peter and John gazed intently at the man sitting at the gate that just felt like the whole point of this passage to me and forced me to ask the question, are we becoming incapable of truly seeing one another? This passage reminded me of a time 14 years ago when Jeff and I and our family were in a very different rhythm of life. The girls were 2 and 4, which is hard to imagine now that they are as tall as we are. I was working in East Vancouver. Jeff was the program director at Keats Camp. I was commuting back and forth while Jeff and the girls lived on the island. Life was chaotic, a little tense, We were right in the heart of that 7-year itch of marriage where you're kind of like, oh, are we really doing this? I was resentful of the time and energy that a life at a summer camp required. Let's just say it wasn't one of our best years of marriage. But during one of my stays on the island, I met Rob and Kathy Bentall, the folks from Barnabas. At the time, it felt like they took one look at us and said, come stay at our place for a couple days. It happened to be coinciding with a marriage retreat that they were hosting. We managed to figure out how to get the girls taken care of, and we headed off to the retreat. I don't actually remember a ton from the weekend other than really good food and the chance to stay in a beautiful space and to sleep, and one super awkward relationship exercise they forced us to do. The facilitator asked each couple to stand several feet apart and stare into each other's eyes. Every few moments, we had to take a step closer. And the closer we stepped, the more intense it felt. And instead of leaning into that, Jeff and I started laughing like a couple of children while everybody else was doing this super meaningful exercise. I believe now it was probably nervous laughter, because in reality, this exercise is super hard. It's hard because it demands intimacy and vulnerability and trust, things that we were all struggling with at that particular moment in our marriage. Studies show that eye gazing helps you identify emotions. It builds trust, increases connection and intimacy, both in a romantic sense and in a platonic sense. Looking into another person's eyes intentionally, thoughtfully, will sometimes tell you more than the words actually coming out of that person's mouth. There's a reason why we quote, "The eyes are the window to the soul." Most of us could probably think of times where we have looked into another person's eyes and seen love, joy, sorrow, and maybe even hate. The eyes are the window to the soul. If you've never done that exercise, I encourage you to try it. I talked to Jeff about it, and then we just never did it this weekend. So I don't know what that says about us, but I think it's one of our goals to try to do that. However, as I look around society today, it feels like we're not doing it anymore. We'd rather hide behind our keyboards and our screens. We'd rather offer platitudes of thoughts and prayers. We over-schedule ourselves with work and activities, and it appears as though we are slowly losing the muscle memory of pausing and looking at another human being. And in doing so, we're forgetting how to honor each other's humanity. As Monica mentioned last week, folks in churches are finding ways to opt out of community, a shared life together. Because it does take work, a sense of commitment and willingness to share our deepest longings and hope. I can see that within myself, wanting to be more of a turtle, hide in my home and with my people rather than inviting others in. But this passage today, where the healing took place, hinges on that moment where a gaze was shared between two or three people. What do you think Peter was looking for? What do you think the man saw? We don't know for sure, but my guess is in that prolonged gaze, they saw in each other that spark of divinity that lives within us all. The one that often gets overlooked by the so-called normative society. The spark that reminds us that we are all made in God's image. That we are all worthy of love and acceptance, and that we are all welcome in this kingdom of God. Friends, the book of Acts is calling us into a new way of life, one that continually asks us to set aside our bias and preconceived ideas, to evolve into people who are willing to look into each other's eyes and see God. Let us be a community that is reaching out to welcome others in, and may we realize that we are richer for it. Amen.